Hey, welcome back to Leave the Swamp, the Texit podcast. Thanks for joining the cause for a peaceful and friendly separation. Before I get started, just want to send a friendly reminder out there. I tend to talk a little slow, so if you know it gets a little draggy, might be better to listen to this podcast on a 1.5 speed. And my wife at least tells me to hurry it up when I'm talking, so thought I'd throw that out there to you guys. But today, I mean, God, there's so many things to talk about as far as this subject goes. You know, Texit, why Texas should leave the Union. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Every day it seems like things are getting more and more crazy. It's ramping up like I've I thought it would probably at some point, but it's certainly happening. Things are accelerating. Just absolutely nuts. It's funny listening to Republican primaries, and you have at least one of the candidates, and I'll get into this when I read through. I'm going to get on some Twitters, some tweets, Nikki Haley is an example, coming out and talking about how she's trying to running for the children, you know. How the children and whatever don't want any more wars and all, and how bad it was, how much debt, you know, Donald Trump got us in and all this stuff. Just as an example. It's like, who does she think she is when she's the biggest warmonger out there, neocon Nikki as they call her, and she thinks Israel is more important than the United States. She thinks the borders of Ukraine are more important than the southern border of Texas. How do we know this? Through her words and her actions. She said infamously said, Israel doesn't need the United States, but the United States needs Israel. Is that right? How the hell does that work? Israel only exists because of the United States at this point. And definitely at this point, for everything they're doing over there, all the evils they're perpetuating. I know some of you listening, or you faithful listener, probably are thinking, what's wrong with old Mal here talking gibberish about the evils that Israel's perpetuating? You know, what about those evil and crazy Palestinians that attacked them in last October, you know, this, that, and the other? Well, as with anything, there's a lot of nuance and there's a lot of history. So without getting into a lot of it here, you know, things happen because things previous happen. You know, there's such a thing as blowback. There's such a thing as when someone has been kicked and has been down and kicked for so long, when someone's been in a open air concentration camp for so long, you know, sometimes people get pissed. You know, it's not a excuse for things people do, but it's an explanation. You know, it goes all the way back to the great moment, and I believe it was 2008 debate. It might have been 2012 debate. I have to go look, but it was Ron Paul and Rudy Giuliani, when Ron Paul was talking about blowback and how everything the United States is doing overseas, you know, sticking their nose into the business of other people, telling other countries what to do, you know, sticking our military all over the place, you know, having quote unquote collateral damage of civilians and stuff. Well, it's going to piss people off. You know, when you stick your nose in other people's business, it pisses you off, right? Put yourself in other people's shoes. Put yourself in your shoes right now. Let's say your neighbor is constantly looking over the fence, telling you what you're doing wrong and what you need to do about your property, and calling the cops on you to come over and, you know, tell you what to do. You know, all this type of stuff. That would piss you off. You know, would it piss us off if Russia or China, whoever, were constantly, you know, coming over and, I don't know, being in Mexico or aligning with Mexico and saying, you know, hey, United States, you got to do this, that, and the other. You know, it would probably piss us off. Would it piss us off if their naval ships were in the Gulf of Mexico? Yeah, it probably would. Just like when our Navy is all over the world, in other people's gulfs and other people's seas, close to their countries. You know, I think it would pisses them off just like it would piss us off. But anyway, that's kind of a rant. But coming back to what I'm saying is, it's amazing how obviously clueless the politicians think we are, and most of us probably are, but if you're listening to this, you're not, for them to be able to, out of one side of their mouth, say, oh, it's so important to defend the border here, this, that, and the other, and then the next sentence out of their mouth is, but we need to, instead of spending, say, $60 billion here on the border, building a wall and all this type of stuff, no, we need to send that to Ukraine in a already lost war to be pissed away over there, you know, indirectly, of course, because really what's going to happen is that money is going to filter more or less through Ukraine all the way back here to our defense contractors for them to build, you know, all new killing machines that'll probably be sold directly to the U.S. military, and then the U.S. military send all our old crap over to the Ukraine. So it's kind of like a utilizing the Ukraine war as a filtering mechanism or a laundering mechanism for a stealth or a massive retooling of the military, not in a war that we're directly involved in. You know, otherwise, you know, maybe it wouldn't have been politically palatable for the Congress to all of a sudden come out and say, yeah, we need to spend $250 billion on new military equipment and whatnot, just because the old stuff's gone bad. You know, it might not have been, you know, acceptable by the people, but oh, if there's a war with one of our allies are being invaded by an evil empire and crazy man, well, let's just send our old crap over there and spend more money to retool our military here. Perfect way to launder that whole situation. But these people come out and say, no, it's, you know, we give lip service to defending this country. I mean, it's the most amazing, unbelievable thing in the world. I mean, what I see going on here, and I hope you see it too, is an empire in terminal decline. The United States empire is, I would argue, has already collapsed, but you know, collapsed, I would say, like the inner core of it has gone rancid. So the things you still see on the outside, it still kind of looks okay. You know, we don't see, you know, obvious signs of, you know, the total collapse if you're not looking. But if you're looking, you see it. I mean, look at infrastructure falling apart in the country. The U.S. empire hasn't won a war since World War II. Think about that one. I mean, that's any meaningful war since World War II conflict, the United States has not won. I mean, you might say, oh, they won the first Gulf War, but really? Is that against Iraq? I mean, and then look what they did in Afghanistan and in the second Iraq and all this type of stuff. What was won there? What was gained there? Look at Vietnam. You know, I mean, the empire was at its peak in 1945, probably. And then economically at its peak, probably up until 1970. And then once we got off a sound monetary system, the early 70s, the decline has accelerated. You can kind of picture it as a exponential curve, right? Where 1970s was kind of the bottom, like the bottom part of the curve, left, if you're looking left to right, the bottom part of the curve where it just starts going up. And now where we are in 2024 is we're well on that darn near vertical line on that curve. And it just accelerates from there. And you're seeing it now. And now it's amazing what's happened here I mean, you could almost have predicted it. The military decline truly started with George W. Bush, that imbecile. But he was a perfect imbecile for the job at the time. To get us into all that mess, to be the perfectly pliable president. He'd run by the obvious neocon establishment to put us on this path towards destruction. And it's interesting, empires typically bankrupt themselves through overextending in military conquests. So here we are. So he came along, and then at the end of his disastrous presidency, then you had Obama, who was basically Bush for another two more terms. I mean, really, what hugely different came from them between those two guys, other than social issues on the fringe? I mean, truly ask yourself that. Now, nothing goes in a straight line, so that's where Trump came along. He was kind of a blowback, if you will, against the status quo decline. So he was a reaction against that. Of course, that the status quo, the powers that be, if you will, got caught off guard, I think, a little bit, were a little arrogant, got caught off guard, thinking, oh, we're just gonna cruise going forward with the same situation. We got old Killary here, just gonna continue the process, hopefully for another 8 years. No problem, everything's set. And then that was disrupted. They didn't have their ducks in a row. They were caught off guard, but they wouldn't let that happen again. So 4 years later, what happens? Here comes Trump chugging down the line. Everyone felt, I mean, who honestly thought that Biden would have beat Trump? Trump on the campaign trail, all everywhere, the crowds, everything. Biden never going anywhere, campaigning from his basement, essentially. And then all of a sudden, on election day, all these ballots showed up from God knows where. And it just so happened that some ballot laws and stuff were kind of relaxed, because of the fraudulent COVID pandemic. And here we are. Biden gets in there. I'm gonna just say it. I don't think there's any question that there was some chicanery involved in that election. I think any thinking person believes that there was, kind of essentially knows that there was. I mean, there's no way around it. There's no way Biden got that many votes. I mean, absolutely no way. Anyway, so here we are, moving on. 4 years later, you're starting to see a little more, the rubber bands kind of swinging back the other way. Here comes Trump and whatnot. So, well, let me just back up. Obviously, the powers that be to get Biden in there had learned our lesson from 4 years previous, and they set up all the infrastructure to make sure Trump was out of there. So they achieved that, right? But in doing that, they went a little too far, and they got the only person they thought they could get in there and control, who truly they are, a demented, an old, evil, demented, senile old man. And now they're at a point where he's getting wet. He's getting a little up there. Now he's good and perfectly pliable, so they like that. But what happens if he dies? Then they're screwed, because then they have old on the knees Harris from California, that evidently no one really likes or wants or in their trust. But they thought they had to put her on the ticket because it would have given them a perceived black woman to offset the older white-haired white man. And Democrats just, I guess, if they hadn't have done that and they had picked another, man, white man or whatever for the ticket, then their base would have absolutely lost their mind. So they kind of saw they didn't have a choice. Okay. Now, I predicted 4 years ago that when Biden was elected, that he would make it maybe a year into his presidency before some sort of scandal erupted around Harris as vice president, forcing her in the end to resign as vice president. And then that would have allowed Biden to appoint a new vice president. And I thought he would have appointed Hillary Clinton for that position. And then, lo and behold, 6 months to a year later, Biden would die of natural causes in the White House. And then who would ascend to the throne of the presidency but Hillary Clinton? That would have been her backdoor way into the presidency. I'm quite frankly surprised that that whole scenario hasn't played out. I actually would have thought the Democrats would have been had more imagination in order to actually do that. Maybe they figured, we can't oust Harris from that for corruption. I mean, she's the first black, you know, whatever else. So maybe that's where they're thinking there. I don't know. But anyway, here we are. All the rumors swirling around. Who is Biden going to run? Is he going to be there? Harris, what's going to happen? Blah, blah, blah. In the end, you know what? What really should happen? Us as Texans shouldn't give a shit. Because it shouldn't make one difference to us here. If none of the national politics anymore serves any purpose for the state of Texas or provides any benefit for the state of Texas, I would argue that the national politicians in the state of Texas going to Washington, D.C. and begging for scraps to be sent back to Texas actually harms Texas, because that puts us as Texans reliant upon the largesse of the U.S. federal government. And that is not a place you want to be. You don't want to be, a welfare recipient of any government or person. You know, you want to be on your own, you know, responsible for yourself, self-reliant, all these things. And Texas is no longer any of those things. It relies on everything from the federal government. Even we in Texas here, even though we're endowed, we have a top 10 economy here in the world, endowed with all the natural resources we'd ever need, we're still somehow in our minds, subtly somewhere in there, think that we can't survive without being part of the United States, that we need Mordor, D.C. We need them for some sort of protection. We need them for, what would happen to all the taxes that are sent back to Texas? This is that's a hilarious common, protest against Texas seceding. It's what would happen to all the tax revenues that go to build the roads or to supply whatever else in Texas? It's like, how about just not sending it to Mordor in the first place? We just keep it here. Cut out the middleman. Take care of ourselves here. Think there wouldn't be an issue there. It's a very simple concept that even the most simple-minded person should be able to wrap their head around. However, whenever you see someone arguing against some sort of secession, I think their critical thinking mental faculties go out the window. It's like it's amazing programming that's happened since they were children, where the lie was told that when the states seceded and created the Confederacy, it destroyed the Union, or it was a threat to destroying the United States. That's how it's always, presented. And Lincoln, the great savior, the second coming, preserved protected the Union by invading a sovereign country and conquering it and waging total war against it, basically decimating the entire southern United States. But that was good because it preserved the Union. Because otherwise, the United States would not have existed. That's what people think. Of course, they don't realize that when there was the Confederacy, there was the United States, and it was still functioning. It was a functioning country, functioning government, everything. Nothing changed there. Nothing changed at all, other than it didn't have part of the territory that the Federation of States had before. So that part has to be, you know, purged from people's minds that, look, states, people can govern themselves. They're capable of doing it. They're essentially already doing it because there is government infrastructure in place. The only thing that would change would be, essentially, we no longer file federal income tax reform forms to the government. We no longer submit taxes to Mordor. And if any industries stay here that do business with the United States, fine, I suppose. However, you know, they will not be in the United States anymore. They would be dealing with foreign corporations at that point. You know, if they're based here, at least foreign locations of corporations if they're based in the United States. Simple as that. We keep all of our money here, take care of ourselves. Be self-reliance. I've been thinking about, what does it mean to be a real Texan? Like, what is a Texan? And I think it's those basic principles. It's being self-reliant, independent, self-reliant. Those are the basic things. Independent, self-reliant, and respectful of other people and their property. I mean, that's essentially what it is. And I would consider, if you advocated for any programs that provided by the government that serve to continually enslave people to the government, then I would argue you're not a true Texan. You know, because you are more of infantilist or something that says people cannot take care of themselves. They need, even as an adult, they need some sort of, some sort of master, some sort of owner, if you will, that will be there to catch them when they're down or whatever else. Anyway, I'm kind of rambling, but I say that all to say, just pay attention to what all these idiots, these evil idiots running for office in this crazy election season are saying, and run it through your ain't right filter, you know, and say, does that make any sense, especially compared to anything that they've said in the past? Don't let these people continue to represent you when everything they do is against your very core. You know, I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable listening to some of these, like, senators and whatnot that they supposedly just passed in the Senate, this big bill for Ukraine or whatever, and they're imploring the House to pass this thing. All the while, there's this issue down on the Texas border with Mexico of all these people coming in, and they don't give a damn about it. That alone should tell Texans, the people of Texas, that we've had enough. It's like, it's obvious that the central government has completely failed the state of Texas. So what do we need to do? We need to reclaim the Texas heritage. We need to become Texans again, become self-reliant again, take matters into our own hands, and take care of the problem ourselves. Because the central government out of Mordor is not going to do anything about it. They care more about Israel and Ukraine than they do about Texas. So that alone, that is enough for me to say enough is enough. I don't know about you, but ask yourself that. You know, and that's just a little tiny portion of all the money that's wasted and blown by Mordor. You know, and I mean, it's hard for me to call it Washington, D.C. anymore. I mean, it truly is Mordor. My son and I started watching Lord of the Rings with him, and we finished the director's cut of Fellowship of the Ring. And it just reinforces to me why Washington is truly Mordor. I mean, you have all the symbolism and everything. I mean, just the the volcano and the destruction, the orcs, they're all the, those are all the federal employees. You know, the administrative state, the evil eye, you know, that is the federal government. That's the federal government through all of its so-called intelligence agencies spying on everything we do. Listening to this podcast right now, putting me on some list somewhere, probably putting you on a list somewhere for listening to this thing. That is the Eye of Sauron. You know, it's Tolkien was ahead of its time predicting this stuff. I mean, it's just absolutely unbelievable. Anyway, so Mordor, yes. So then, you know, what else? There's so many things that a rant could be started about as to why Texas should secede. But this war thing is just beyond the pale. It's absolutely sad. I'm embarrassed to call myself, I mean, I'm a Texan first and foremost, but I'm embarrassed to call myself a citizen of the United States when that United States refers to the government that funds genocide. Oh my, how the mighty have fallen over, what is it, say 50, 60, 80 years. You know, how supposedly the wars were fought against that, where now it's being funded in our name, in your name. You know, money is being stolen from us in taxes, and borrowed, you know, and massive more federal debt to pay for stuff like this, to pay for essentially border disputes that we should have no business being part of, that serve no national security interest of this country. You know, I'm going to bring it back to, in the end, what Texas should be is neutral. It should trade with everybody, be a friend to all. You know, have entangling alliances with none. And it would be quickly the most prosperous country in the world. I would hope Texas would see or follow the lead of Argentina. I hope Argentina keeps going down this path, you know, drastically slashing government expenditures, regulations, all these type of things that I have said on this podcast before. It probably doesn't take much to become the most prosperous country in the world. But the more you do, the more prosperous you'll be. And Argentina at least has started down that path with their new president. I hope they keep it up. Because before we know it, they will end up being the most prosperous country in the world, at least for a while, until they screw it up again. Texas could do the exact same thing if we just cut ties that are dragging us down. And that is our ties with the central government in the United States. The Titanic of the Titanic of Washington, D.C. At this point, the deck chairs have even already all been rearranged. I mean, it's going down in Texas. We can't have Texas go with us. So if we don't want to be dragged down into the abyss, into an overt bankruptcy, which will cause massive economic dislocations, headaches in the United States. If we don't want to be dragged into World War III, which is probably coming because of the stupid, idiotic actions led by the United States, led by Mordor, stoking the fires of World War III with all this Ukraine stuff, NATO idiocy, Israel. I mean, it's right in front of our eyes that it's something's going to happen, and it's going to tee off, you know, a massive war. I don't think there's any way around it right here, unless cooler heads prevail. And unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's inevitable. I think the die's been cast. It's inevitable. But what can happen is people can say enough is enough and say we're not having a part of this. And that's where I come back to Texas. Texas, if we were smart, would come together and say, we're not going to have a part of this. We're not going to be part of a completely evil and unnecessary war. You know, we're not going to be, stop provoking wars in our name. Stop poking bears and swatting at hornets' nests in our name. It serves no purpose. It actually is a anti-purpose in that it endangers everybody here in this country, because something's going to happen, especially with our southern border completely wide open for anybody to walk through. You know, there's no way someone's not going to come through that border, plan something, and cause something to happen here. No, it's just, there's just no way around it. And even if it's actually not executed by them, then it would be some sort of false flag that'll get everyone whipped up like chimpanzees to unite around, you know, Old Glory for some stupid adventure that will further cause us to bankrupt ourselves. Oh, you know, I'm referring back to exactly what happened in the early 2000s after 9/11. So it's going to happen. Something will happen. That's my prediction here. Unfortunately, I wish it wasn't true. But the only thing that we can do as Texans is, at least from this point forward, say no, enough is enough. We're no longer having a part of this, and we are neutral. We are the Switzerland of North America. So you guys fight it out, leave us out of this, and we'll just continue to live our lives and build our prosperity here, protect our families, defend our property. And if you're okay with that, then we're okay with you. Live and let live. I don't see why there's any reason that shouldn't be the most obvious thing that we'd be doing going forward. Instead of, I mean, just look at this, the national politics. These idiots in Washington, what they're trying to do to us. It breaks my heart. And now, especially that I have kids, they will probably be, young kids now, will probably be more like our great-grandparents were. So, you know, that generation that actually gave birth to our grandparents. Because they're going to go through some crap, okay? They're going to go through some hard times. And then what they're going to do is they're going to give birth to another generation that they're going to look at and say, oh, we went through bad stuff. We never want you to go bad through that again. So we're going to baby you. So then essentially they'll create, you know, the baby boomer baby boomer generation. And then the cycle will continue. Yeah, so be it. But right now, there's no way to fix the situation from within. A drastic change has to happen. And Texit, I think, is that change that needs to happen. But I hope you agree with me there. I wish I fully intended to give a little more concrete examples and things like that, but I just kind of got, this has become a big rant episode. Had to get some stuff off my chest. About, you know, the biggest thing dragging us down with the ship right now, and that's all this war stuff going on around. We should all be ashamed that we're being dragged into this mess by Mordor. It's absolutely, absolutely shameful, and I don't know what else to say on that, truly. I'll just say, you know, a thought that I had about Texas seceding is, this just popped in my head, but it's amazing how you have this organization called the UN, and you have, it's supposed to be where countries come together, talk through things, and, you know, whatever else, yet certain countries have veto on any resolutions that go in front of the, you know, Security Council or the UN. And one of them is the United States. So there's been multiple resolutions passed calling for ceasefires in Israel. And every time the U.S. has vetoed that thing. What does that say about the current situation? What does that say about the current people in Washington and Mordor? What does that say about the Eye of Sauron? I think that says everything right there. That they can't allow even a ceasefire resolution to be passed. In the UN, the toothless UN. It just goes to show how much, one, things are controlled by the United States. Two, how toothless the UN is and how pointless it is. Three, how utterly morally bankrupt the U.S. federal government is. I mean, you want to be part of that? I sure don't. You want them to be representing you and speaking on your behalf to the rest of the world? I certainly don't. So anyway, that's... I don't know. That's all I got to say about all that, I guess. I will let you know. I will say that I did get back on Twitter, X, whatever the hell it's called. And I've kind of gotten just to where I comment on people's posts. So I don't, instead of just, you know, making a comment to them on their post, I do the quote thing and I'll just, you know, say something about it or whatever. It's been interesting reading what some people have, what some people say on, say on here. So for instance, let's see here. How do I get to where, what I've posted? Trying to read my posts here. I gotta go to this. This thing? No? I'm on the desktop version. I can get to it, but I don't know why this is difficult for me. Gotta figure this out. Messages, premium, profile. Aha, profile. There it is. Duh. So I just going back to Nikki Haley. That's why I started this out with talking about her sorry ass. I literally just posted before where she said in one of her tweets, Donald Trump put our nation in $8 trillion in debt in just 4 years, and there's no indication that'll stop the spending sprees if he's back in the White House. Our kids are the one who have to deal with the mess. And then I just said, then why do you want our children to pay for evil, pointless wars in Israel and Ukraine with money we don't have, but we'll have to borrow? If we're going to borrow it, spend it here to protect our borders, not theirs. The hypocrisy and gaslighting is absolutely amazing. Text it now. I mean, and that goes along to one I replied to last night. The Senate Democrats, Twitter, said, we have a moral obligation to defend Ukraine the way we defended democracy. The stakes could not be higher. Now, what? A moral obligation? Where does the moral obligation come from for us, meaning the United States, to defend the borders of another country, number one? And how are you going to do that? Well, by stealing money from us to do it. So you're going to morally defend something in your mind by immorally stealing money to do it. That's hilarious. What about moral obligation to defend the United States by closing the border in the South, you worthless piece of shit? And then they say, defend the Ukraine the way they defended democracy. The way they defend, what does that even mean? They tweet these things that make absolutely no sense. It just goes to show the mental capacity of the people that they're tweeting to, Senate Democrats tweeting to. The way they defended, are they saying the way Ukraine defended democracy? And how did Ukraine defend democracy? Last time I looked, Ukraine has suspended elections, yet Russia still has elections. So what the fuck are they talking about? So I just replied to that, this is the biggest crack of shit ever. They're stealing from us and endangering us by stoking the embers of another world war. They're insane, evil idiots, and they have the power over us in Texas. We, quote-unquote, have a moral obligation to leave the evil feds and stop this in our name. Texit. What's something else? Okay. The Texas Nationalist Movement, which is interesting. I'm going to get more into that. That's, remember, I'm reading the book of the guy, I think, who started that, the Texit book. And the Texas National Movement account tweeted, Joe Biden is visiting the border on Thursday to pay lip service to the problems that he created. Well, he didn't just create. They've been a problem for a long time, but I continue. Texans need to remind him what and who caused this damage. Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's perpetuating the damage. But I say, I quoted there onto that one, if the governor had any balls, he'd tell the president he's no longer welcome here and that the state will not provide any aid and comfort while he's here. Time to stand up to these evil orcs from Mordor, D.C. Text it now. And look at this one going through here. Even Bernie Sanders, the idiot socialist from Vermont, even at least in a tweet, now behind it, he's probably wrong, but at least in a tweet, he's absolutely right. He said, the United States must not give a single penny more to Netanyahu's horrific war against the Palestinian people. Oh, clear and simple. I agree with that. I just said, proof that even an idiot socialist, but I repeat myself, can be correct every now and then. How about as Texans just decide not to let the Fed steal our money anymore in the first place to be used for immoral and evil purposes so that this isn't even an issue? How? Text it now. I see I misspelt a word in here. Am I able to edit that? How do I change it? Shoot. I guess you can't edit posts. Let's see. Just want to change that word. View posting, hidden post. Oh, all right. Well, maybe that'll be held against me in the future. You don't know how to spell place. All right. What's another one? How about we just look at like I'm on Nikki Haley lately, I guess. I don't know. She said, talking about running for president, I'm not doing this for a political career. I'm doing this for my kids and all of your kids and grandkids. They're wondering how they're going to make ends meet. They're fearful of more war breaking out, and they deserve to know what normal feels like. This is the tweet that I kind of referenced at the beginning and got me going on this podcast episode. I said, quote, they're fearful of more war, end quote. And then I said, yes, that's why you're losing by the grace of sanity. You are more war. We're done with stupid and pointless wars being fought in our name. Enough of being forced to be part of this evil farce. Text it now. Because that's what's happening. By being part of this, we're being forced to be part of this evilness. Let's see. Let's jump back to this home, see what's going on. See if I can find a couple more. I'm kind of feel like I'm on a roll, but maybe you're getting bored. So won't keep you too much longer. Let's see. Oh, here's a good one from Texas Nationalist Movement. Texas Nat MOV. The feds need to control everything that we do, shouldn't take precedence over the right of Texans to live according to our values. I might have reworded that. I would say doesn't take precedence over the right of Texans to live according to our values. Actually, you know what? Maybe I will re-quote that and say that and kind of do a fixed it for you thing. Let's see. Can I do that? Copy. I learned the fixed it for you. Little acronym there. Yes, I know. Just haven't been big on social media, so doesn't. Let's put in here doesn't, but in all caps. Yeah, there we go. All right, that's a good one. Yeah. Oh, if you want to follow me on the Twitter, on X or whatever the hell that's called now, it's at Texit Rebel. At Texit Rebel, and then the account is, the title is Leave the Swamp. Someone already had at Leave the Swamp, so you know, I'm going to say the Fed's evil need to control everything that we do doesn't take precedent over the right of Texans to live according to our values. All right, good stuff. Oh, no, I got to put the hashtag. All right, post. All right, that's sweet. Yeah, so there's that. What else? Here's old Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren. She's wrong about basically everything in life. Utterly ignorant of economics and life in general. She said the right to an abortion is on the ballot in 2024. If Democrats control Congress and the White House in 2025, we can ensure reproductive freedom nationwide. But if the GOP does, they can rip away reproductive freedom nationwide, even in blue states that protect abortion rights. No, you idiot. The federal government has no power over anything of that nature. It's purely a state issue. It's not going to happen. The spineless Republicans are not, national Republicans are not going to pass a law to make abortion illegal. The Supreme Court would just strike it down the same as they struck down this Roe vs. Wade wrong decision back then. Federal government has nothing to do with that. Let's see. Oh, here's one. I have no idea if this is a good one or not, but here's Hillary Clinton. This past weekend, we watched as Russia's aggression continued to displace thousands of families in Ukraine, taking the greatest toll on Ukraine's children. Okay, and? Yeah, it's a shame. I don't care. How about we redo this and say, this past weekend, we watched as thousands of immigrant invaders invaded... Ooh, that's a good one to requote. I'll do that. Check out what I requote on that one when... a little later. Let's see. Here we go. Never mind. I'll just do it now while you're listening. I'm sure you're not bored yet. Hopefully. So this past weekend, we watched as... Let's see. Tens of thousands. We watched as thousands. I'll just say thousands. I don't know if tens of thousands actually came over on the weekend. Thousands of illegal invaders continue to place thousands of families in Texas, taking the greatest toll on Texas's children. I mean, it writes itself. You know, to displace thousands of family and I mean that's good. That's a good one. All right, that was a good one. Well, thanks for hanging in here. I don't need to keep you any longer as you listen to me write tweets and whatnot. But I may go through more of these on a podcast going forward. We'll see how it goes. I'll get better at it. Thanks for bearing with me. But anyway. If you tweet anything about it, if you have a Twitter and you tweet anything about it, put the hashtag text it on there. And let's get this thing done. All right. Well, thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you on the next one.